Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
The supernatural interventions of the Lord are supposed to be remembered, embraced, treasured, because that creates the context for the increase of that revelation, the increase of that experience.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
I believe that God would like you to experience healing and miracles in your life. Miracles and healing are possible for you. Listen, today our guest, Bill Johnson, teaching at a healing and impartation conference. Part one of a two-part series.
So here he is as he continues with this conference, Bill Johnson.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is that I want to teach you to see unseen things. When we learn to see into the unseen, and I don't mean just imagining angels, that sort of stuff. That may be a part of it, but that's not what I'm going after. When we learn to see how God's economy works, it's easier to cooperate with Him and see the demonstration of God's power. How many of you, when the testimony was shared, the miracle that was spoken of happened immediately in the room? The Bible says this in Revelation 19:10, says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say that with me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say it again. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The context has a certain, it's addressing a certain issue. The principle behind the concept, behind the statement is this, that anytime a testimony is a spoken or written record of anything God has done. Spoken or written record of anything God has done. So a testimony of Jesus is a spoken or written record of anything Jesus has done. What is unique about the report of what Jesus has done? It is the spirit of prophecy. It carries with it prophetic anointing. Now, it's important to understand, what purpose does the prophetic serve? Number one, it either foretells a coming event, saying on October 23rd, such and such an event will happen. That's a prophecy. It's announcing ahead of time a particular event. But there's a second purpose of the prophetic, and that is where this, the category that this falls into. Instead of foretelling a coming event, it causes a shift in present events. A prophetic word can be catalytic to change events to bring about God's intended purpose. Does that make any sense to you? So the testimony of Jesus carries what? A prophetic anointing to alter present circumstances to bring in divine purpose. Leave that there. Old Testament. The word testimony in the Old Testament comes from a word that means do again, do again. Now think about this. God instructed Israel in Deuteronomy 6 is a wonderful chapter of instruction that the Lord gave Israel. In fact, Deuteronomy is kind of like the book of instruction for how you do community life. It's like this complete lesson on this is how we live. This is how we do life. And in this chapter were three instructions. Number one, the Lord says you're to keep the commands of the Lord. The commands, we know those. So when God says, stop it, that's a command. When He says, go into all the world, that's a command. When He gives us these directions, He says, keep the commands. So we know what that one is. That one is not difficult for us. To keep the statutes, those are the principles. Those are the pillars that kind of support the specific commands. This reveals to us the actual nature of God, of how He thinks and why. And so He wants us to not just obey the surface level of commands. He wants us to embrace the purpose and the way His kingdom exists and how it works into society. So he's commanding us, hang on to the principles that support all these specific commands. Why do I want you to be faithful to your wife? Why do I want you to be contributors to society? It's the statutes that keep all this in context, all right? But then he adds a third one. He says, keep the testimony.
of the Lord. Now, that's weird, because keeping the testimony, there's, it's not like a command. He says, you know, he is saying, I want you to hold the record of my supernatural interventions in the affairs of man. I want you to hold them so close to you that they become the lenses through which you see reality. Keep the testimony. As we look through history, we find that Israel's backslidings started with their neglect of the record of God's works. Now, we see it in all different sort of ways, but whenever Israel forgot about the works of the Lord, they would talk about them less. When they talk about them less, they happen even less. When they happen even less, they discuss them even less. There's this downward spiral that happens in Israel's history. Now, we know where they always end up. They always end up in idolatry. And so we always think that that's the issue, but that's not where it started. Idolatry, that horrible sin of idolatry, actually started with a neglecting of the record of God's supernatural interventions in Israel's life. This is a really big deal, because the nature of God is revealed in the stories of supernatural intervention. Yes, we can learn a lot about God's nature by looking at creation. There are many things that he has done that reveal his nature. But the supernatural interventions of the Lord are supposed to be remembered, embraced, treasured, because that creates the context for the increase of that revelation, the increase of that experience. I was walking in the sanctuary one Saturday night. Man, so I was walking through the sanctuary and just praying, and I found myself actually daydreaming. I found myself thinking of this girl. She was about, I'm guessing, about 10 years old. We live in Redding, California, which is at the north end of the state, fairly close to the Oregon border, maybe 100 miles away. 600 miles south is Southern California, L.A. area. And my wife and other friends of ours brought their daughter to us, and their daughter had broken her leg in a bicycle accident. And when it grew back, it actually grew back crooked. It was bowed. And because it was misshaped, the muscles didn't work correctly. So when she walked, she kind of swung her leg. And the doctors examined her and said, we're going to have to re-break the leg, let it grow back, and then put her in physical therapy so that this leg will work correctly. And so they brought the daughter to the meeting and said, would you pray? So we prayed for her. This is one of those times where it can be really encouraging when you see how the Lord works over a period of 30 days on this one. Because we were back in the area about 30 days later. Over a period of 30 days, the leg that was crooked, that was bowed, actually straightened, and all the muscles formed on her leg correctly. In 30 days, she was completely healed and completely normal. But it took about 30 days. So, yeah, yay God for that. That's a good story by itself. And so I was walking through the church, just laying hands on chairs for the people that are going to be there the next day, and just praying into the end of the day. And I found myself daydreaming about that, and it was a few years earlier when it happened. And I caught myself in the middle of the daydream, and I realized, you're in this, aren't you? I realized, I don't know if I'm making this clear or not, I realized that it wasn't just my mind wandering, but he had interjected a movie screen for me to watch for a moment, because he intended to duplicate that miracle. And by reminding me of the miracle, he was putting me in the place to keep it so that I could see what? Testimony comes from the word do again. If I embrace the testimony, we were put in the context of seeing a duplication of the miracle. So I could hardly wait for the next Sunday morning. I thought, well, I'm just going to go for it. So I wasn't sure what I was going to go for. All I knew was God healed a broken bone. And so I think that's just what I'll go for. So when the appropriate time came, I said, all right, anybody who's ever broken a bone and it didn't heal correctly, stand up. So we had a bunch of folks around the room. They stood up. And right over, we prayed. So right over here is a woman who broke her ankle 20-some years earlier and never healed correctly. when the people got around her and prayed, they heard a pop, and it was instantly, the bone was reset, completely healed. Back over here was a woman who broke her jaw. When she goes to the dentist, she can only literally go for a few minutes at a time because the pain is so excruciating to open the jaw. She doesn't even have time to receive Novocaine. They just work for a couple minutes, and then she goes. And it's just this nightmare over this broken jaw. She broke it 10 years earlier. Somebody lays hands on her bone, the jaw is reset, complete, you know, opens her mouth, and the dentist can go in there and do what they do. And she's completely, so all around the room, we have these miracles that just take place. Some of you have heard, there's a reputation in Reading for healing of bones. This is when it started. This is the actual night, the Sunday morning it started. It started with sharing a testimony that happened maybe 2 years earlier, sharing it, having people stand, and bang, all these miracles started happening right before our eyes. Now we have, it's very normal. I've seen several thousand people healed from accidents, and we'll go after that tonight. That'll be a lot of fun. But the point was, is that here was a something that happened that didn't heal correctly, and by mentioning it, what does the testimony of the Lord contain? The spirit of prophecy, prophetic anointing. Now that prophetic anointing is not for foretelling a future event, it's for causing a shift in a present event. Here's another interesting facet, and then I want to just tell you stories, and let's just see what we can do, all right? The word remember in the Old Testament is strange. Now, there's probably somebody around here that's really smart in Hebrew and could help me, but the word remember comes from the word male, masculine. Like, there's an oxymoron if you've ever heard one. It's actually related to the word male. And it never made sense until you think of this, that the man carries the seed of reproduction. And those who remember God's supernatural activities carry the seed of that miracle into a present problem. Maybe you didn't hear me. Remembering the testimony is carrying the seed of the past miracle into a present problem, a present situation. Now, since we've learned this principle, when we oftentimes we'll run into a problem and somebody will call and they'll say, somebody will call us on the phone and say, all right, Bill, have you ever heard of anybody being healed of this? Now, if we haven't, there'll always be a first time, so we just go for it. But frequently our folks will ask, all right, have you ever heard of this being healed? And if so, they'll try to find the testimony. Now, in our staff, my staff meeting, I've got 31, 32 pastors, something like that on our staff. And we meet together every Wednesday, and we've got a support team there, and so we've got a bunch of people in the room. And I start the meeting. We take the first hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, just to share the miracles from the previous week. So we go around the room, and I just start by saying, what's the good news? Tell me what's God up to? What's happened? And so we hear all these different stories. Many of them are physical miracles. They're not all physical. Some are conversions. Some are deliverances. Some are other provision and unusual manifestations. And we just talk. We take an hour and a half or so just to talk. I've hired a church historian. Her job, she sits in the room. She records it all. She writes it down. She's got a tape recorder going. Because there's going to come a time when we will face a problem and we will need to know, we will want to know, do we have a record of this being healed before? Why? Because if you keep the testimony, you have kept the record that includes the revelation of God's nature. He is the same today as yesterday. We are guardians of the revelation of His nature. We have been assigned the task of carrying within our soul the revelation of God's nature. And we do it in story form. as we share with this one and that one. I had a guy come to me a number of years ago. In fact, Randy and I were doing this particular meeting together down in Georgia, and somebody came up to me and he said, have you ever seen a leg shrink before? Because apparently I'd given a testimony of us seeing, we've seen bones missing, actually replaced. And so creative miracles in the legs and arms and stuff. So he says, have you ever seen a leg shrink before? And I thought for a moment, because if we haven't, there's got to be a first time, so we'll start with this guy. But if we have, it'll encourage, because it just kind of prophesies over him. Yeah, this is what God does. So have you ever seen a leg shrink? And I thought for a moment. I went, yes, I have. I have a pastor friend. He was in a snowmobile collision, accident. And when they put him back together, apparently they had too many parts because he had a leg that was too long. True story. And we're in an Italian restaurant in Sacramento, California. He tells me the story. I said, well, let's go for it. So he turns his chair around in the restaurant. I grab his leg. I command the long leg to shrink. It shrinks. He goes back to his therapist. His therapist says, it's absolutely perfect. So I said, yes, I've seen it happen. So get a chair. So the guy gets a chair, brings it up to the front, you know, and I'm holding his legs. And what happened was when he was 9 years old, he's now 34. So when he was 9 years old, he broke his leg, and when it grew back, it just got too happy and went an inch and a half past the other one. And so now he's a contractor. He's got back problems because he's got a leg that's an inch and a half too long. He's just messed up, and he just wants to know if I've ever seen one shrink, and I've seen one. So I said, yeah, get a chair. So I grab his legs, and as I'm holding his legs, now this only takes moments, but as I'm holding his legs, I'm wondering, should I shrink? Should I shrink the broken leg, or should we just go for, I mean, most folks would like to be another inch or so tall. So I thought, what's the worst that's going to happen? Nothing. And he's already got that. So, you know, this is all going through your mind in just, you know, seconds, but I thought, I'm just going to go for it. And so his right leg was too long, and he was expecting me to command the right leg to shrink. And so I held it, and I went, yep, sure enough, too. I said, left leg, in Jesus' name, grow. And the thing started just like this, just real slow. And then all of a sudden, it went bang, about 4 inches past the other leg. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. The guy is screaming in pain. He's had like 5 years of growing pains in 1 second. And the guy's going, ah! I mean, he's doing this, ah! Ah! He's writhing in the chair. On the outside, I'm as calm as can be. On the inside, I'm going, oh, no. He thinks he hobbled in here. Wait till he walks home. And I'm reviewing everything I've ever experienced before. And there's no room, there's no place where this has happened before. And so I'm searching my heart. Oh, come on, there's got to be a good prayer for this. You know, commanding the growing, that worked, but we overshot the mark, you know? And so I'm holding his legs. The guy is honestly in pain. So I'm trying to think fast. I'm thinking, all right, what's a good prayer here? And I remember the word shalom. The word shalom in the Bible, it's got to be one of the greatest words in the Hebrew, the word peace. It's not just peace like peace. It's more than that. It's a pregnant word. It's peace. It's like sound mind. It's prosperity. It's divine health. It's like probably anything you've ever prayed for in your life could probably be found in that word somehow. And so I thought, that word, this is what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm thinking, that's got to cover this. So he's screaming, and I've got his legs, and I'm acting calm on the outside, but inside I'm going through the vast reservoir of prayers looking for a good one. And I thought, well, let's try peace. So I said, Lord, I just release the peace over this man now in Jesus' name. And just in a moment, his leg went perfectly even with the other leg. And he got up, he came to me the next day. He says, Bill, I've measured it every which way. It's absolutely perfect. So the Lord grew his leg out an inch and a half to make it even with the other one. So a short while later, I'm up in Minnesota. This was down in Georgia, up in Minnesota. And there's this gal there who had her bone was removed because she had bone cancer in her leg. It was removed and a metal bone was put in its place. And she was 15 when she had the surgery, which was, I think, 12 or 14 years earlier. And they expected her, it was an inch and a half, it made her leg an inch and a half too long again. And they expected her to grow into it. But she never grew anymore. She was 15 when she had the cancer, and she never grew another inch. And so she's got this leg that's an inch and a half too long. Having had recent history with this problem, wisdom was born. And even though the Lord honored my risk, I thought, I'm not going for that this time. So she was actually, I usually have her sit in a chair, but she was already laid out on the ground. And so she said, "Would you pray for my leg?" I said, "Sure." So I grabbed her leg and I commanded the leg, it was too long, the metal one, to shrink. And it shrunk inch and a half, just like that. She came to me the next day and she said, "I've measured it every way. It's absolutely perfect." And then she said, "I'm so glad you didn't command my short leg to grow, because then the doctors would have said, see, you'd grow into it." Sometimes you look smart when you're not even close. So this testimony concept started boiling in us because we started seeing if we remembered them, if we told them, things would happen. So it was in the same city now as this metal leg. This gal comes up to me. I think it was actually the next year. She came up to me and she said, I had prayed for her the night before. She had restricted movement and pain because she had broken her ankle. She had pins and stuff that had since been removed, but she had problems. So I prayed for her, and she had some relief. She was feeling better. She went home that night. When they were getting dressed, her and her husband getting dressed to come to the meeting the next morning, her husband looked down at her leg while she was getting dressed and said, "Hey, that wasn't there before." And she looks down at her leg, and there was an entire section of the calf muscle that was missing because of this accident. And it grew back overnight. And she looks down, and sure enough, she sees that a muscle is growing back. So when the meeting came, she could hardly wait. She came up and told me, I said, "Oh, this is amazing." I said, "You got to tell everyone." So I said, "Tell the story." So she gets up, she tells the testimony of God recreating that muscle overnight. Well, as soon as she's through, she's walking right down the aisle here. She gets probably no more than 10 or 12 feet down the aisle when another lady runs up to me. She said, "If God did that for her, certainly he'd do that for me." Now see, she picked up something. Number one, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's no respecter of persons. So what he's done for one, he'll do for another. What he did in one period of time, he'll do in another period of time. Are you with me? It's a level playing field. That's the point. And so she ran up and she said, "I tore my Achilles tendon 5 years ago when it was healed. When it grew back, it didn't grow back all the way. Only part of it connected. The other was disconnected. And the muscle, the calf muscle, atrophied and drew up into the leg." And so she said, "If God did that for her, certainly he would do that for me." I love that. It's rare that you hear that kind of insight, you know. And so I said, "Helen, come back here." "Helen, come back here." So she comes, and I said, "I'll pray for her." So the pastor's wife comes up. The two of them pray for her, and right before their eyes, the muscle forms. God reattached it, and literally, it formed before their eyes. There was an indentation, a loss. It grew back in front of their eyes. Well, this starts a stampede, you know. We got another lady comes up, and she says, "I was kicked in the leg by a horse, and it destroyed part of the calf muscle." It's like an epidemic in this city. It was calf muscles. It's like, what? It's like the Lord made sure everyone who had the problem was in the meeting that day, you know. So the two that had been healed and the pastor's wife prayed for. Oh, and in the place of where that muscle once existed was a growth. And so the three of them prayed for her. The growth dissolved, disappeared, and then the muscle formed before their eyes. A fourth woman came up, and I forget what her deal was, but she had the same experience, instant creative miracle of that muscle. All from what? A testimony. That was Rochester, Minnesota. I flew, part of my team flew home. I travel with our students and my personal staff. Part of our team flew home. Part of them went with me to Crossville, Tennessee. I had part of my school, they joined me in Crossville, so we had a big team there. And I was telling them the story about these four people with this creative miracle. There was a doctor in the room that had broken his leg 1 year earlier. When he broke his leg, or when it healed, he had it didn't heal all the way. It didn't heal correctly. He had restricted movement. He had pain. And that muscle had atrophied from lack of use. And so I had some of the team, I said, go over there and pray for him. So they went over and prayed for him because I shared the testimony. He wanted to receive prayer. So I sent two or three students. They began to pray for him. I talked to him maybe 20 minutes or so later. I said, how are you doing? He said, well, all the pain's gone. So that's good. He says, I've got all the movement back. I said, that's awesome. I said, how's the muscle? Because I'm really curious about this point now because we're declaring a testimony and I want to know what's happening. He says, I feel my skin stretching. Now, is that amazing or what? So I fly home and I bring the reports of the three women. Was it three women? That was it? Four. Four women and one guy. I come home to Reading and I tell them that morning, I said, oh, this last week was amazing. And we saw this happen and this happened. Unknown to me, there's a woman in the room who broke her leg 1 year earlier. She had restricted movement. She had pain and she had the calf muscle had atrophied. And so when I gave the testimony, her leg turned hot, all the pain left, the muscle reformed, and she had complete mobility just from the testimony. That's amazing. Now, I was with Randy in Brazil, just to, not to draw it out, but just I was in with Randy in Brazil. I'm teaching on the concept of the testimony. And there was a woman on the from the U.S., actually from California, that was on our team. We're sitting there with about 800 Brazilians, leaders that we're trying to equip for the evening meetings. Randy wanted me to teach on the testimony. So I'm teaching all these Brazilians, and I'm going through this story right here with the ankle, with the calf muscle. Unknown to me, one of our team members had been in a car wreck and injured the leg and destroyed part of the calf muscle, and it was non-existent. She was curious. I started to release the team out to pray for all these Brazilians, to equip them and release them and give them a good God encounter, you know. And she disappears. She goes out the back. Well, come to find out, she went to the woman's room to examine what she couldn't see because of her her clothing. So she goes into the woman's room. She examines her leg, and the missing part of the calf muscle had grown back during the story. Is this amazing? This is absolutely amazing. So we're with Mahesh. I mean, you know, Mahesh and Bonnie Shavda, outrageously wonderful people. And we were with them, and I was going through that series of stories, and a gal sitting right over here, she goes, I have a missing calf muscle, too. I have an indentation in my leg. She interrupts my message. And I said, okay. And so I'm thinking, you know, right at the end of this meeting, we're going to go for it. And she says, and I'm from Minnesota. Now, it's not like you have favorite states. It was that that state was a part of the story. Now, that's part of the language of the Spirit. It's an unusual coincidence. What does it do? It helps you to know this is a now moment. Move on it. All right? When you have a series of unusual coincidences, at minimum, God is saying to you, you're at the right place at the right time. Sometimes there's a greater, more important message in it, but anyway, in this situation, I said, well, then stand up. And I had her run to the back of the tent and then run all of the way forward. So, because we're in this huge tent. She runs to the back of the tent, then she runs forward, and I said, check your leg out. She looks at it, and it had completely grown back. Yeah. The supernatural interventions of the Lord are supposed to be remembered, embraced, treasured, because that creates the context for the increase of that revelation, the increase of that experience. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.